So good afternoon. I will be talking about the measure collate predict methods that are used for the long-term corrections of some short-term wind data series. It's typically the wind series measured on some temporary wind mast. These methods have in common that then use the some long-term data for the correction that have some statistical relationship to the short-term series, and they have some overlapping period with that short-term measurements, so that this overlapping period can be used to train some statistical model that is then applied for the long-term data to obtain the result. It might sound like a simple task, but surprisingly, it's a surprisingly large source of errors in wind resource assessment. So it's still good to investigate that. One reason for those errors is that from wind resource assessment, it's not just enough to calculate the average wind speeds of the data, but also the calculation of wind distribution and wind losses. Necessary. The other issues are about the data. If there is not enough information in the overlapping data, then any method cannot work. So it must be, the data must be correlated enough, and there must be the period long enough to provide all the information needed. In fact, the most important is that all weather situations are included in that period. And very critical issue is the homogeneity of the reference data. If the series is not homogeneous, it's better to do no measure collate predict than just use the short-term data, because it may make terrible error. The methods for measure collate predict are usually focused on calculation of wind speed characteristics. Very few methods focus also for wind rows. The easiest methods, the simplest methods are methods of ratios. For example, the so-called wind index, wind indexes, wind index methods can be called as ratios because they only calculate these ratios between wind speeds or wind power productions. Then there is a big group of methods that explore the relationship between wind speeds in reference and target sites more in depth. The most frequently used is the linear regression method, which is quite well in calculating the average values, but it cannot calculate the wind distribution. It must be something added to the linear regression to do that. All those methods that just explore the relationship between wind speeds can be improved, that some other factor is included. The data are often divided into bins by wind direction, or it may be also other feature that improves results usually. More refined way how to divide the data into some groups are so-called matrix methods. It's called matrix because there's usually some matrix of bins, for example, bins by wind speed and wind direction. But I found that the label of matrix method is used for very often very different methods. This is not one type of method, but are different methods that use some kind of matrix, and they are called, yes, this is matrix, this is matrix method. Behind that, there are some other methods that can be used. For example, artificial neural networks are frequently mentioned. For example, that support vector machine can be used for that also, or other devices. There are generally less frequented either because they are a bit complicated, like the neural networks. So about the approach, I call it matrix analog approach. It's because I use the separation of the data into bins. It can be said that it's a metric of bins originally, and that it applies some kind of analog approach. The analog approach is good for the reason that if I use an analog, I search for an analog time record, I can preserve the relationship between wind speed and wind direction in the data, so that this approach is able to calculate the wind rows of the long-term corrected data. So this is the difference that complete wind climatology can be calculated. I call it this general approach because there are many modifications that can be used in all of the steps of this approach. These steps are basically four. At first, the bins must be defined. There is some simple way how to define the bins. The bins must fulfill two conditions. They must be too enough small to distinguish between different situations. It can represent something like weather situations because they represent some wind direction or some combination of wind speed, wind direction, also stability can be included in that. But each bin must be big enough to contain enough data from the training period. The model can be unstable, the data in the bin can be not representative. So that's one way how they can be defined. At the second step, the analog is found, so that I want to know what is the wind speed and direction in the long-term period. So I find any analog time record in the training period that is in the same bin. And I calculate then with that analog time record. This is the third step. So I use that analog time record to calculate the long-term wind speed, and they, some corrections may be useful to do. The calculation can be done also by different ways. I found two principally different possibilities how to do that. It is somehow connected to two types of methods that are called as matrix. The first possibility is that I use the reference data from the time record which I calculate, the data from the reference series, and then I correct them by some ratio of wind speed or difference of wind direction, and the ratios are taken from the analog. The second possibility is just take the analog wind direction and wind speed from the target series, from the short-term series, and then to do those corrections. I made some verification. I used just the data from surface weather station in Czech Republic. This time series may be a bit different from the wind mass measurements, but in generally they should behave similarly. As a reference data, I use also the data from the surface station and the data from reanalysis. The calculation was made just for 1 year of training data. I didn't try shorter or longer training periods. This is an example of the result. On the left side, it can be seen the original data. The right side shows the simulated time series. The behavior of the series, it's a bit different from the original series because there are big differences between neighboring records, but the statistical behavior of the long-term series is correct. This is the comparison with the real data. This is how the wind rows looks like if it's calculated. The reference series was reanalysis. The windrows of the reference series is very different from the target series, but the method does just a correction of target win series. So the result looks very different from the reference series. The gray series. The gray line looks like the original short-time data, short-time windrows look like. The shaded area is the correct result, and the green and blue windrows are the result of the MCP method. This is a comparison with some simple MCP methods, methods of ratios, the linear regression method, the variance ratio method, which is frequently mentioned in literature, and those are matrix method 1 and method 2. The null method is just using the original data, just don't do any long-term correction. So it can be seen that mostly of those methods have some improvement over just using the short-term data, considering the average win speed, the linear regression, and the matrix analog methods perform similarly. They are the best options, but those methods of ratios or linear regression methods cannot simulate the win distribution, so also the power density cannot be simulated. It is because the linear regression calculates the average value, so it's best for calculation of individual values. The matrix analog method performs much better in win speed distribution than the variance ratio. Can be seen how the grouping the data into bins by win direction improves results. It's clear that binning the data by win direction improves results strongly, but it was not big difference between grouping it in 12 or 36 win directions. Here is a comparison of results for different combinations of reference and target data series. Considering the target series, the results for these are the weather stations, so they are placed in some of them are placed in basins, lowlands, and this data cannot be well extended. It's the error in long-term correction is quite big. That's because the wind regime there is quite isolated from the large-scale wind pattern, so the methods cannot work so good. The stations that were in open sites perform much better. The site on the right, the Mileshovka site, can be considered similar like wind mass positions. So the prediction of average wind speed is quite good. If the reference series are compared, the weather station, of course, don't have good results if they are far from the target sites. But even if they are close, it's not doesn't secure that the result will be good. In some cases, it's not. It may be because inhomogeneity of data. It may be because there is some difference of wind regime in close wind sites. So in most cases, the analyses are better than the surface station, even if there is a surface station not so far apart. The reanalysis closest to the surface were performed best, so the MERA reanalysis in 50 or 10 meters, or the ERA interim reanalysis from the lowest level were performed best. In Mileshovka, which is in a higher altitude, higher level of reanalysis perform better, so it's logical. Here, for you can be see which is the improvement in prediction of average wind speed using various combination of reference and target series. It can be see that the measure correlate predict improves the result in most cases, even if the correlation is not so well. So if the correlation is about 50%, it still improves the result. But of course, if the correlation is better, then the improvement may be much better. If the correlation is well above 0.8, 0.7, the improvement is the root mean square error decreases to 20 or 30% of the error of using short-term data. So the conclusions, this metric SNOC approach enables reliable situation of complete long-term climatology or wind speed distribution, wind troughs, average wind speed, and in some extent also the wind data series. Its performance is good compared to simple approaches. It may be interesting to compare it with more complex MCP methods, but it would probably need some cooperation with the teams who perform it, because there are important are details how the methods are implemented. So to make fair comparison, it's good to do some kind of benchmark exercise or round-robin test. Methods based on metrics analog can be individually defined, so there is space for improvement. And the importance of use data is very big. So often it's not so important which method. If you don't have good data, no method can work. So thank you for your attention.